Executioners of England, Executioner John Price. Now, after Mr. Ketch, the first man we know who followed in his footsteps as state's chief executioner was Richard Pearse. Unfortunately, little is known of him. A few years later, a man named John Price is appointed executioner. Now, he was born in London in 1677, the son of a British soldier killed in Tangiers. And he died when John was 7 years old. But at seven, John was apprenticed to a rag dealer in order to make a living for his poverty-stricken mother. Later, he became a wagon loader and eventually ended up in the Royal Navy, most likely due to a press gang. You know, you get drunk in an inn and they whack you over the head, and the next morning you're on a ship, and congratulations, you're in Her Majesty's Navy. In 1713, Price was discharged from the Navy and then decided to apply, mind you, for the position of hangman of the City of London and the County of Middlesex. Perhaps his skill with ropes and knots helped him, but not only was he appointed in 1714, he was commended for his work in the same year. So perhaps he wasn't quite the idiot that we have had. The 28 years between Ketch and Price was filled with numerous unknown men. During the time, criminals themselves actually carried out execution, and in parts of Scotland, chimney sweeps were on occasion forced and compelled to assist at hangings. In York in 1731, Matthew Blackburn, who was convicted of a capital offense, is known to have been pardoned by simply becoming the hangman. There were certainly one or more bungled amateurs at work before Price took over. In May of 1701, when Captain Kidd was hanged for piracy at the execution dock, the rope broke and he had to be hanged a second time. And then his corpse was left to be washed by the Thames tides. Fortunately for Kidd, he was practically senseless with drink at the time. Now, I would mention something about Kidd. It's also believed that when I've done stuff on piracy, Kidd's body is usually then put in chains and then hung up as a warning to people. One of the problems with Captain Kidd is he's not as brutal as Blackbeard or many of those other people. His problem is he knew too much. You see, Kidd was actually hired by a group of members of Parliament who saw a significant gain in having a privateer go out and rob ships from various places, and then they would supply him with a great ship, which they did, and they would get a good percentage. The trouble was that Kidd got tired of giving all the part of his money to those people who risked nothing and went on his own, as they would say, going on account. So when he is captured, they have to make sure that they get rid of him really quickly before he starts talking. So Kidd is not as nasty as he's portrayed, and he's not really that. Well, one of the cunning things is they'd have people come in and look like they were damaged, and another ship would help them. And then people would go on that ship and put explosives in the cargo bays and blow them up. But anyway, you know, we have him executed. But let's look at the execution dock piece. Now, execution dock was used for capital punishment of everyone who committed a crime at sea. The place was on the Thames shore at Wapping, by the Pool of London, and the bodies were customarily left hanging until the tide had washed them three times. Well, let's get back to Price. Now, there isn't enough records of his work to judge whether, on the whole, he was a good or a bad executioner. Now, executioner efficiency was only relative, since no hanging at the time resulted in instantaneous death. We do know that there were enough, quote, hanging days at Tyburn Prison that once Price was there, he had plenty of experience in a short time that he officiated at hangings. However, it seems that Price fell into debt by living beyond his means and was first arrested for debt at Holborn while he was returning from Tyburn after doing several hangings. But the first time, it was a small debt, and he was able to pay for it with the money in his pocket and the three suits of clothing. Now, the three suits of clothing came from the three men he executed. Families didn't want them, so they stripped the body naked. He took the clothes, which was rightfully his, and they then dealt with the bodies. But soon after, two more creditors took out writs against Price, and now penniless, he was placed in Marshalsea Prison at South Bar. Now, this is a terrible place. It's overcrowded. There's 700 or 800 prisoners, all in there for being debtors. Average was about 2 or 3 men a day dying. And in 1719, it was reported that 300 died in less than 3 months. He is in this prison for 2 years. Then in 1719, he and another man escaped by breaking a hole in the wall. A month passed, and Price, who was drunk at the time after coming out of an inn, went by an elderly woman who had been selling apples and gingerbread. With no one in sight, he tried to rape her. She screamed and fought back, but Price beat Elizabeth White, whose husband was a local watchman, so badly that she died 4 days later. Price was caught because the screaming brought all sorts of people to help. Now he's caught red-handed by the people who came to aid her. He was tried for murder. He claimed it was dark and he was drunk and he hit something with his foot and then found out it was a woman. He bent over to help her up when he was arrested. Obviously, no one believed him. Price was found guilty and sentenced to death, and after death to be hung in chains. His execution was set for May the 31st, 1719. For particularly vile murderers, it was common practice to hang them at the place where the crime was committed. So a gallows was erected for Price's death at Bunhill Fields. Jubilant crowds lined the route as Price was transported by cart from Newgate Prison to this particular location. Now, the prison chaplain, known as the Ordinary of Newgate Prison, Reverend Paul Lorraine, reported that Price had obstinately refused to confess his guilt in prison. But on the gallows, he did confess and then cautioned the mob to take warning. The former executioner met his end at the hand of a man named Banks, who after the hanging then fitted Price's corpse into an iron suit and suspended it from a gibbet at Holloway. And so that's the end of him. We're not having much luck with these people. These executioners, they have a pretty rough life, and then they die in their own volition here, or one of their competitors takes over. So the sources for this: The Hangman of England by Bailey, History of Capital Punishment by Scott, The Encyclopedia of Murder, Wilson, Collin, and Pittman, The Reluctant Hangman by Athol, and The Common Hangman by Bland. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CD, I should say CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a little monthly donation or one-time donation or whatever. So thank you very much.